This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Dr. Patrick Fagan back with us on the program. Dr. Fagan is Senior Fellow and Director of Marriage and Religion Research Institute at the Family Research Council. He formerly served for 13 years as a Senior Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. The Marriage and Religion Research Institute just released its annual report, The Index of Family Belonging and Rejection. We're going to be talking with Dr. Fagan about some of the report's key findings, including those for North Carolina. Dr. Fagan, thanks so much for being with us.
It's very good to be with you all.
Well, we appreciate your time. Tell us, if you would, a little bit about the annual Index of Family Belonging and Rejection report. What is the purpose of this report, and what does it seek to measure?
Well, the intactness of the family is the key measure we want to have a good read on. But it's a difficult thing to get, because if you were to take all of the children in a family, are they in an intact family? Well, some of the three-year-olds are still in an intact family, but by the time they reach the end of childhood, their parents may have divorced. And unhappily, we know that's going to happen to a significant number of three-year-olds. So what we do is we take the measure at age 17, when they're just about finished their childhood, just about finished their formation in the home, and they're about ready to step out. So we take a read at that stage, and that gives us the best indication of the future health of the next generation, because the intactness of the family tells us a lot about the capacity of the children.
Very good. One of the most disturbing findings or concerning findings from the report is that over half of American teenagers have parents who have rejected each other, as the report describes it. Would you tell us about this finding and what you believe that it means for our current society and the future generations?
Well, what the figure is, 54% of our teenagers, they are no longer in a family home where both their parents are present, raising the family. 54%, their parents have one of the parents at least has walked away from the other, either early on, out of wedlock births that didn't lead on to a marriage, or cohabitation that later split, and that's becoming an increasing pattern, or the child was born into a married family and then one of the parents left, or both parents decided to split. They're the three big ways that parents reject each other. And the child, of course, is left holding the bag. And it's a heavy load for a child, because we're made to be raised by loving parents, and we thrive when we are. And the children who don't get that, even though they may get great love from one of the parents, they don't get great love from both united. And all the data points that weakens their capacity to be the full adult they would have been had their parents stayed together. Which means when we've got more than half American 17-year-olds are in a family that's shaded a lot by the rejection of their parents, that means the majority of our kids are going to be weaker as adults than they would have been had their parents stayed married.
And I would assume it means that they are more likely to continue that pattern as they become adults and look at the future of their relationships, whether it be marriage, potentially cohabitation, or something like that.
That's right. It's much easier for children who grow up in an intact family to go on and be happily married themselves, because that's one of the capacities they learn. They learn how to love by seeing it. Love is something you catch more than you make. Like, we need to be filled up with it as children so that we're not needy and making mistakes all over the place and putting demands on future spouses or potential spouses that we really shouldn't be doing. And instead, we should be contributing and giving ourselves to them. But if we grow up so needy, others get fed up with us.
Well, Dr. Fagan, in the South, we are tend to be a very competitive group of individuals, especially when it comes to sports and those types of things. But this year's report shows that the Northeast has the highest level of what is referred to in the report as family belonging, and the South actually has the lowest. And this may come as a surprise to many of our listeners. In fact, the report concludes, and I will quote, "No state in the South has a majority of teenagers living with both married parents." And you alluded to this earlier with the percentage that you cited, the 54%. But if you would, explain this finding for us, and why do we see more intact families in the Northeast than in the South?
Well, that's a bit of a mystery. One of the potential explanations is the culture in the Northeast. The Northeast, founded by the Puritans, was founded on a family basis. Puritans migrated as families. That didn't happen anywhere else in the nation as much. Mainly they were individuals. First men came, and then the women came later. That's one of the things that makes some sense. Don't know that that's the only explanatory variable. One of the mysteries about the South is that the further south you go, by and large, the more church attendance you get. And normally you expect intact marriage to go with church attendance, but that's not happening. So there's something strange going on in the worshiping patterns of Christians in the South. It's not leading them to intact family, which is what you would expect.
Interesting.
So many mysteries there.
Absolutely. Well, the report compares family belonging and rejection in specific states, and we certainly want to talk about North Carolina and how North Carolina ranked in a few minutes. But first, if you would, help us understand which states have the highest percentage of intact families and which states had the lowest, and what are some of the reasons that you identify for this?
Well, the highest is Utah, Minnesota, and Nebraska. New Jersey actually is up there too, high to mid-50s. 57% is Utah. The weakest ones are the District of Columbia. It's the weakest by far at 17%. Only 17% of children and of 17-year-olds are in an intact family in D.C. The weakest states are in the South, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas, the three weakest, 32, 36, 37. And as you the weak states are all in the South. So you've got a good 20-25% difference between, for instance, Mississippi and Utah. A significant difference. North Carolina is in there in the southern cluster, maybe up a bit. It's at 42%, which means 58% of 17-year-olds in North Carolina are in a family where mom and dad have split. Only 42% are in a married family with mom and dad.
Well, in this report and in previous reports, you show how family belonging and rejection, or family intactness, as you put it, influences state social policy. Give us, if you would, some examples of this in relation to North Carolina, the influence that family intactness or belonging and rejection has impacted on social policy in the state.
Well, it's one of these fundamentals that no matter what you do on social policy, if you want to achieve it, you need more intact families. So, but very few states are premised on that. Actually, most states are coming in to try and shore up the brokenness or to shore up the effects of brokenness. For instance, when you've got a single mother family, much more difficult for such a family to make it, to have enough food, shelter, clothing, and wherewithal. And the state comes in with supplementary income. Unless the state is growing intact families, they're actually going to get more brokenness. So that policy doesn't work by itself. It doesn't work in education performance, actually. All the big outcomes we're interested in, education, health, happiness, employability, productivity, income, savings, mental health, they are all dependent on the level of intactness of the family in a state. And we did a major study last year where we did all very highly technical regression stuff looking at this. And the impact is just astronomical. In the social sciences, if you get, there's a that measure called the R squared. You get a 0.3, you're at strong influence. We had a 0.8, which is almost unheard of. The impact of marriage on social policy is beyond question.
For the first time this year, the report examined family belonging and rejection by race. What are some of the key findings in terms of race and family well-being that you found?
Well, the strongest ethnic group is the Asian American, and the weakest is the African American. And in between then, you've got white is second strongest. Hispanic is quite weak, American Indian, and then African American. By and large, the Asian Americans, about 64% intact. If you go to New Jersey, where they're the most intact, 78% of Asian Americans in New Jersey are in an intact family. For the African American, the national average is just 17%. In the District of Columbia, there's only 1 in 11 17-year-old African Americans are in an intact family. And in Milwaukee, it's even a little less. In Wisconsin, but the black family in Wisconsin is almost all in Milwaukee. So that's where it's weakest of all in the whole country. Only 9% in D.C. and only 7% in Wisconsin.
Well, Dr. Fagan, clearly these numbers and percentages have a deeper meaning, and that being the impact that children growing up in either an intact family or in a family that is broken has on the children and on our society as a whole. And you talked about this some a little bit earlier, but just in kind of taking a step back and looking at this report and the findings of this report generally, why should our listeners be concerned about family intactness and the issues of family belonging and rejection as it relates to the stability and the structure of our society and how that influences our daily lives?
It influences it in every way. All the major institutions, the family itself, the church, education, the economy, government, they are all affected by this. What we have essentially designed is, I don't know if we've designed it, but we've fallen into it. We have built a culture and a society in America today where, by and large, American men and women cannot cooperate on the most important thing they've ever done, which is to bring a new child into existence. The genders, the sexes, are at war with each other, by and large, in the United States. They're failing to cooperate on the most important task they've undertaken. This is crisis at the deepest and most profound level. It's already weakened us economically. Most people probably don't know this, but divorce alone, leave out cohabitation, divorce alone has reduced the growth rate of the American economy by 1/6 every year for the last 20 years. We're slowing down. People know that. They know we're slowing down. They don't make the connection to this sort of data. Our men are not as productive. Our boys are becoming less and less productive. Fewer and fewer of them are graduating from high school, and less boys are graduating from college compared to girls. This, again, is the male-female, that things are getting really out of whack between the sexes. And the ones who bear the brunt the most are the children that they beget.
Dr. Fagan, we are nearly out of time for this week. I know that many of our listeners would be very interested in reading more about the Index of Family Belonging and Rejection report. Where can they go to get a copy of that report and to learn more about it?
Actually, if they go to Mary's website, it's an easy one to remember. Mary, M-A-R-R-I, not Y, Marriage and Religion Research Institute, Mary.us, and it'll be right up there on the homepage.
Okay, let me repeat that, marri.us, mary.us, and also there are tremendous resources at the Family Research Council, and FRC's website is frc.org. Again, that's frc.org. Oh, Dr. Pat Fagan, it's always a pleasure to have you with us on Family Policy Matters. We thank you so much for your time, the great work that you're doing, and the great work that the Family Research Council is doing for concerned citizens in our country. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's always good to be with the North Carolina Policy Council. It's great. The work you do is wonderful.
Family. Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.